Coming up on Speak Up.
We are talking about healthcare providers, and I would like to offer this perspective of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And instead of, because now we know more, we know the narcotics are not really the answer for chronic pain. We have, you have to approach it from so many different
angles.
But
that's what I don't understand. Yeah. These doctors are getting, I mean, you can't just go buy this at Walmart. No. I don't understand that. Well, they keep
all this and much more on Speak Up.
81% of parents don't think, dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's what we have to control.
Drug overdose is the leading cause of accidental death in the United States, with over 52,000 lethal drug overdoses. Now, opioid addiction is driving this epidemic, not only in the United States, but in many countries around the world. Women are at increased risk for this addiction. Why? Why this happens to women? What can be done about it? That is what we'll be speaking up about today. This is a tough topic.
Yes, indeed.
I wish we could have hours to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because there is so, so much to talk about it.
It's kind of even a hush-hush topic. I don't remember ever really having this conversation growing up or even now as an adult.
Because now it's an epidemic. So, evidently, being a healthcare provider, I have given narcotics and opioids like M&Ms, right? Oh, you have pain?
Have you really?
Absolutely.
Well, that's oftentimes the patients, that's what they ask for,
pain
right?
Pain is real.
Pain
is real. We need to address it. We cannot ignore it. And pain is whatever the patient says it is.
That's true.
Yeah. So we have to take care of the pain. The thing is, we erroneously have been thinking the narcotics are
the answer to pain.
And it's not. Now, from all the stories that I have been exposed, I have to... I think about this co-worker of mine who ended up being addicted to narcotics because she had back pain.
She was a nurse?
She's a nurse.
There's a lot of health professionals. Doctors.
Yep.
Because who have access to prescriptions.
You can hide it a little easier.
But they didn't write their own
You have to continue. Life goes on.
You'll be surprised.
No, you have friends that can,
They usually won't do their own, but they could.
Yeah. So here she is, and guess what? The thing that she's complaining about, she never changed her habits. She was fine. You know, nobody had any clue that she was addicted to painkillers. Mm. And what gave it away is that she was talking to me and she said, I haven't been going to the bathroom for almost 10 days.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the side effects.
My antenna 10 days.
10 days. That's painful.
Yeah, because some of the painkillers make you constipated.
So, main thing with the narcotics, it's, believe it or not, it's constipation.
And you knew.
Right off the bat. But so education, of course, played a role in this. So that's what we need to talk about.
Now, why do you think women are more at risk?
Women tend to, number one, downplay their pain, right? It doesn't hurt that bad. And so, I mean, I've done this. So your doctor writes a prescription, and you only take half of what they told you to take, right? Mm-hmm. I don't need that whole thing. Meanwhile, your husband is popping, 1,000 milligrams of Motrin for his little headache. Right. You don't even want to take the whole thing. I was reading about this the other day. Women tend to do that. So they downplay it. Mm-hmm. They just take a little at a time, and then it's slowly over time. That's when they gain this dependency on it. They don't even realize because
they start increasing it. Because with narcotics, you end up needing more.
You create tolerance to it, so you need more to have the same effect that you had the day before.
Without realizing that you're hooked.
Yeah.
Now, it's a very hard thing to be break free from that. Do you know anyone who have actually been able to find some hope and break away from that addiction? Some nurses lose their license. Many health professionals lose their license.
Yes, we have to say that aloud. Some nurses lose their licenses,
And physicians, too,
So healthcare providers in general. Since we are talking about healthcare providers, and I would like to offer this perspective of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And instead of, because now we know more, we know the narcotics are not really the answer for chronic pain. You have to approach it from so many different
angles.
But
that's what I don't understand. Yeah. These doctors are getting, I mean, you can't just go buy this at Walmart. No. I don't understand that.
Well,
they keep writing
it's
and
writing
them. Where are they getting them from?
Yes.
I understand that, but why is the doctor not saying, you've refilled this
seven times
since February?
There are very famous people like Michael Jackson and many others who are pronounced, and we've seen their stories and how they go to their doctors, they would get, and they would be prescribed. Many physicians want to, as you're saying about the pain, to relieve the pain. But now I think there's an increased awareness that that's really not the way to go.
That's their responsibility. I don't understand that.
I think the problem is it's here you can easily track it, but back in other countries where access is very easy, and those drugs are
in some places you don't need a prescription.
True. You can even just get it from the patient's cubicle. Or they have their own drugs, and you can just get it little by little and have your own stash because nobody will account for those medications.
But for example, the two of you who work as nurses, mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, because my mom's a nurse, so back in the day, there was she used to have a key, I guess, to the drawer.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? And so the charge nurse, which is what she was, would have the key to the drawer.
All the control substances.
Right. Yeah. And so it was all in there.
Uh-huh.
But now when we go to the hospital and visit somebody, you see that there's a whole system.
Oh,
right?
Now,
and you have to punch in the code and all that
absolutely.
Stuff.
It's so does very that
help,
controlled.
Does that help control the whole substance thing?
Oh, evidently, she said, it's computerized. We know and all that. But we're kind of dedicating too much time with the healthcare providers.
Yeah, you don't need. You can access in many other ways.
Many other ways. The thing is that because we need more awareness, because it is happening as we speak. Mm-hmm. Patients have power, and it's happening that way because now people are being treated. But there's also a abuse. So providers don't want to deal with that. You have pain, okay, here it is.
Although we're more careful. I mean, being a health provider myself, I prescribe it. And so now we have this increased awareness where we are very careful how many, times you will or will not refill that for the person.
Right. Right.
And that helps. Now, there are women, for instance, and I read this very recently, women that have depression, they tend to go more because they have sometimes chronic pain with it as well. And some women that suffer the chronic pain, they go for the painkillers. But women, or even men, particularly women, though, with anxiety, apparently they tend to go for sleeping pills or other things
cocktail.
Like that.
Yeah.
And they use a cocktail for sleeping, and to calm them down, thinking it's not really for pain, but still they go through the same issue.
And the thing is, those things don't really help you.
Right,
they don't help you.
They're there for a purpose.
Food,
in the beginning.
It comforts you.
See,
right?
As we talked
point,
about
it becomes
before,
a comfort to
exactly.
The person.
It's a deeper pain inside. Now, let me tell you this: we have a wonderful guest today. Our guest is Dr. Marisa Leslie. She's a psychiatrist, a medical director at Adventist Healthcare Behavioral Health Hospital here in Rockville, Maryland. Dr. Leslie, thank you for being with us. You heard
thank
our conversation. This is a very hot topic. And is it true then that women are more at risk indeed?
Women are more at risk because of the way our bodies are configured. If you think about alcohol, it takes less alcohol to get a woman drunk because of how we process and metabolize. And the same is true for opiates.
Yeah.
And I would say another reason women are more at risk is because we have to keep going, right? We have families sometimes.
Everybody depends on us.
We have to care for our mothers,
children,
our parents.
Husband.
We have to care for our colleagues. We are socialized to keep going no matter what. Right?
So we do what needs to be done.
We do what needs to be done.
Take care of the pain.
Yes.
And we don't realize.
Of course. And also, more women are sexually abused.
So there's
a lot of
that
trauma,
too,
domestic violence,
these
things that, yes, these things that we want to numb and we don't want to feel and we don't necessarily want to deal with.
Yeah. Now, how is this particular addiction different than other substance abuse or other substance addictions?
Mm-hmm. So for opiate addiction, the withdrawal can be intense.
Really?
Although the withdrawal will not kill you, it feels like it can. So people do all they can to avoid the withdrawal, to avoid the muscle aches and the diarrhea and the flu-like symptoms.
Those are not good symptoms
not
at all.
Not fun at all. So people do whatever they can to avoid it. And sometimes they escalate by using heroin and something even more intense.
That's why it's so hard, perhaps, to break from this addiction?
Yes, because your body is telling you, what are you doing? I'm sick. I need that medicine. I need it. And your brain is also counteracting and saying, I need it, I need it. So together, the body and the brain telling you, I need this, that's why people will ignore their children and use during pregnancy. And,
and I'm going to have to stop you right there, but we want to learn more about this. We'll be right back with much more right after the break. We're speaking up today about opioid addiction, and psychiatrist Dr. Marisa Leslie is here answering some of our questions. I cut you off, Dr. Leslie, you were speaking how difficult it is for women, and I think everybody that's addicted to opioids, to break from this addiction.
And I was saying that, you know, women, on the one hand, we become addicted because we have to do all these things, we have all these responsibilities, and we just need to keep going. But once we're addicted, we will ignore the things that we really care about, our children, our jobs.
That's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is heartbreaking.
So they realize that that's happening, or no, there are
They may realize, but the body and the brain are saying, I need this, I need this. When you stop using me, I feel sick, and it's terrible. I need this.
Yeah. And as you, some of you were saying, you know, women need this for pain. They're having amounts of pain, and they need to do the day-to-day women's roles that we all have. So that's very hard. Now, why is this now a big issue now? This is probably for thousands of years people have had access to opioids, and now we suddenly see this increased epidemic.
It is a big issue now, and I do want to point out, I think it is sad that we weren't paying attention when it was an issue in the inner cities, and we had heroin addicts. I guess it wasn't as sexy then, but now that it's affecting housewives and rural America, at least in the United States, now we're paying attention. So we should have been paying attention before, but that's okay. We're paying attention
now. At least we're speaking up about it now. That's why we're here on this issue. Now, some of you have questions for Dr. Leslie.
I have a question. Is it also affecting our young girls? I mean, we're not just talking about older women or like our their moms, but the young
adolescents,
girls.
The adolescents.
Is it affecting them? Because I mean, they're exposed to a lot of pressures, like peer pressures, pressures in school. How can we address that?
So I will say for adolescents, anything that can be used or abused, ingested, or injected, they will try because the adolescent brain tells them, hey, why don't we try this? Let's take a risk. You know, let's have an adventure. So you may have had a dental procedure and you have Percocets in your cabinet. And you think, oh, they're not going to touch it. But they look at it and they think, oh, my friend said it was cool, so let me try it.
Or they might remember how the Percocet helped them sleep or what have you. From the root canal or whatever.
And they oh, I'm feeling bad. Let me just try it.
I've heard, and you can confirm here, Dr. Marisa, that really the feeling, it's such a good feeling. You feel at ease and you feel like peaceful. And so that, you know, if they experience it once.
I don't have those neurotransmitters. I feel like throwing up. So
when you take the Percocet.
I
think looking at the Percocet, like the issue at home is that when the parents leave their prescription meds just somewhere where the kids can access it, then that is the issue. That will be a problem for the little kids who are just, okay, what is my mom taking? Like, can I have that?
Don't underestimate. Your child may be an angel, but...
It's still an accident.
Curiosity. That doesn't mean your kid is bad.
I have seen many kids, goody two-shoes, who are athletes, and they have injuries, and they come home
that's
with
another
prescription.
Way.
And then an accidental way.
And Eric, I think you see a lot of kids that you talk to. You know, Eric has a ministry for kids and teens who perhaps are at risk with this.
Right. Well, like she talked about the pressure, that sense of, well, I've done this and it was fun and it felt good, so I'm going to do it too. And at the same time, I mean, I was 15 years old and I was thrown off a horse. I've had chronic back pain ever since. And I will tell you that temptation was there to just, well, this just relieves me. This just gets me through the day. Now, I never became addicted to it, but I can understand how it would creep up on you and you might not even realize.
Yeah.
Until the day you wake up and say, now have to have it.
Yeah, there was a story I heard just a couple months ago where a group of kids were studying for an exam, and one of the young ladies in particular was just an average kid, good kid, you know, great grades, but an average person in terms of, you know, no extreme to the left or to the right, right? And someone had the idea to let's try these pills that they bought from someone who got it from someone who got it from someone. Mm-hmm. And she took the portion of the pill pack that hadn't been properly portioned. She started foaming at the mouth and she died.
There has been a lot of deaths.
Exactly.
Because of overdose. Yeah. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Sure. Well, here's how opiates kill you. They stop you from breathing.
Simple as that.
Yeah. But the beauty is that there are antidotes, naloxone. I just watched a story on YouTube about firefighters and how they're carrying it with them now. And it is just unbelievable the amount of naloxone they have to use to reverse these opiate overdoses.
Now, Dr. Leslie, how does a mother who is pregnant and she perhaps is addicted to opioid, how does that impact the unborn child?
So it can affect delivery time. You know, babies can be born before they're ready.
Premature
births, low birth weights. Down the line, we're still discovering how this affects the fetus and then the eventual child. But it can affect cognitive. It can affect their ability to learn.
Wow, that's going to be lasting for life.
It can. And it doesn't affect every single child, and we still don't know, which is why it's so important. If you are pregnant and you are addicted to opiates, please seek help. You can be put on maintenance therapy so that you're not overusing medication. Yeah. You can be monitored. There is definitely
so those of you at home, if you are pregnant and you are in the situation, see what Dr. Leslie is saying. It's very important to seek help, and there are ways out. This is very, very important.
Can we shed a little bit of light on the more on prevention? Because chronic pain is real.
Yeah.
Totally
many,
real.
Many right. people.
But can you talk a little bit about how research is showing that, you know, again, an integrative approach is much more efficient than the narcotic alone?
Yeah, what else can people do replace that to feel better?
So I would say step one, why are you in pain? Right?
Yeah. Don't just what, is the root cause
what is the
of
root
your pain?
Cause? Yeah. Actually, I just had a back injury back before Christmas, and my job schedule is very demanding, so it was really inconvenient. But I went and I had physical therapy, and it really helped. It got at the root of the pain.
So trying to fix that root cause is really, really critical.
Stay in shape. Try to lose weight because that can affect your back and your spine and your posture and pain. And exercise, and there are also other things. There's acupuncture, there's physical therapy, there's heat treatment, and sometimes you may need painkillers, but it may not need to be opiates.
Right.
Well,
this is very important. We are very grateful to have had you and to have this conversation. Now, there are people at home that perhaps want to know more about what they can do. And if that's your case, go to our website. We do have Speak Up notes there on this very issue of opioid addiction. And you can share these notes with your family, with your friends. You can use it for your own well-being there. It will be helpful to you. But there's more to come. We will be back with our Speak Up friends to look at what the Bible has to say about this issue. What's the relevance of this wonderful book and what it has for us today? Stay with us. We are speaking up today about opioid addiction. And ladies, that was a very interesting conversation. Yes. It's much more common than we thought. I thought it was interesting how Dr. Leslie mentioned that this issue has been there a lot in the inner cities.
Yes.
Heroin addiction. I mean, when I was little, I remember people talking about heroin. Did you know anybody
it's
who
crazy.
Actually
I guess used it's it? Not re- well, I don't know anybody who has used it, but I feel like it became more vocal when celebrities started to die from it, as opposed to just some
which didn't
kid,
help
you
because
know,
all of our young people, where are they looking to get their sense of what's cool?
The yeah, they're looking at this.
They're looking at them and saying they're doing it because that's what I have to be doing too.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's the norm.
As soon as these singers and stuff started dying, then they're like, oh, okay, we need to look at our kids, which is crazy. We should have been looking at the kids or whomever in the inner cities or wherever the whole time, as opposed to waiting till some celebrity passed away.
I don't know which approach would be best for adolescents. But I know that when I am discharging patients to go home and with narcotics, I
put light on the outcomes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I always tell my ladies, I said, okay, you're going to take this narcotic, but just be aware of the side effects. Mm-hmm. And the major side effects for this is constipation. So they talk about it. Yeah, so their eyes go like, okay. Because women are already constipated in nature.
And but they don't like that very one, right? So maybe that can help them to even say, okay, I'm going to think twice.
And for men, I also try to, you know, inspire,
motivate them.
On the outcomes, and I say, you will have side effects, because we have to teach them about the drug and the side effects.
Uh-huh.
You will have side effects, so you...
what is the major one for men?
What is it?
You know, you're going to probably
erectile dysfunction.
Oh. Yeah.
That will scare them.
They'll take a lower dose than what you said.
Yeah, you know, but I tell you what, you know, of course, as a provider, but as a parent, you know, something that she was saying that I think is very important. If you are a mother...
Yeah.
And you may be using it appropriately, but you leave it out in a counter or in your medicine cabinet in the bathroom. You have
to be careful.
Yeah.
Be
lock
careful.
It. Lock it.
Lock it and tell your children the same things. You know, what are the negative side effects that can come?
And again, it's not because you have
it at home.
And it's not because you have some bad kid. It's not about being a bad kid. It's about being a kid.
That little girl got into that cabinet, didn't know what was what. Nobody was watching her. And I'm not talking about a baby, but a small child.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The girl ended up mentally, I mean... She will never be the same because she took so many of these.
She probably stopped breathing and didn't have enough oxygen in the brain.
Or she probably thought it's candies, like the little girl. Like,
mom was like popping everything they put in their mouth.
Yes.
You know?
But the main issue, which is the addiction in itself, it's so huge because people don't accept they are addicted. To start with. So to recognize the signs and symptoms of being addicted requires much more awareness. And you were telling us something about a golden girl, something like that. I thought it would be fit so appropriately.
So there was the Golden Girls, the TV show. I think it was Rose, you know, the crazy one. She had to take pills for something, you know, maybe back or whatever the case is. But long after the back surgery, she was still taking the pills. Yeah. So all the girls in the house tried to hide the pills. But she was like, well, I'm not addicted to it, so you can take it. You can hide it. It's fine.
Uh-huh.
Until one night, they hear rustling about in the kitchen. So everybody comes out. You know, the Golden Girls are always ready to smack you with a rustling or something. So they come out and find her rustling about the place.
Every drawer is open.
She was like,
I'm not addicted.
I'm not addicted.
I'm not addicted.
She says, I'm not addicted. I just need it.
Yeah.
See, I just need it. And that's what we learned, too, because remember how she talked about the withdrawal? This is why this is one of the worst drug-using choices possibly, because the withdrawal is different than other drugs.
Right.
And so it's a real urgency that people have, and it makes it difficult. But I think also we need to think about, you know, what is really driving this issue.
The source
of
it all.
Yeah. Because once we're talking about, they may say, let's hide it. I'm not going to take it. But that not only the chronic physical pain, sometimes
emotional
pain, particularly among the young people too, you know, they want to be accepted and everything, but there is emotional pain.
Yeah.
And I think when you add that in, if you're already dealing with that emotional, psychological stress,
and then you add in the physical pain.
So you're taking this medication, you need more, maybe you can't get any more.
Yeah.
So you're having all these issues anyway, then you can't get any more.
And
you feel like giving up.
Because it would lead to somewhere.
Physically, mentally, emotionally, withdrawal is just a lot.
Yeah.
So apart from dealing with whatever pain you had, so say it was back pain, now you're dealing with emotional pain and mental pain
and
from the whole withdrawal
thing. And there is only one source of really fixing the emotional pain, I think. It's the healing that we need to find.
Right.
And the beautiful thing is that the Bible is a source that can help us meet that need. Mm-hmm. Llewellyn, you found something in Scripture that can be helpful.
You know, like the Bible is offering us to be healed from opioid addiction. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Whatever burdens we have, lay it all to God, whether it's the past pain or current circumstances that we are carrying, carry it all. And
whatever your pain is, those those meds, those pills are never
not the
going
answer.
To heal you. They're not
Amen.
The answer. God is the only answer Amen. For whatever kind of pain you're facing.
That is Amen. Beautiful. And this is what we want you to remember. We have learned today that opioid addiction is a real epidemic, and it affects women disproportionately when compared with men. The good news is there is hope for freedom. Join a 12-step recovery ministries group that can provide support and find help from that group. Remember to seek God for help in your journey, and He will bring you freedom from any addiction. Remember, visit our website below, and there you'll find resources on opioid addiction. And you can download our Speak Up notes, which talk about it. You can share it with your friends, and you can also give us a call if you'd like to have somebody pray with you right now, or whenever you feel you need the help to call our number, which is on the screen. We will see you next time to speak up on issues that matter for your whole health and your happiness.